Evening session. This session is about the low-level virtual machine for the compiler for and the backend. Raphael is going to talk specifically about the backend for the LLVM. Okay, I'll hand you over. Without further ado.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Before anything else, I'm sorry, I don't have a laptop of my own, so I couldn't make last minute changes. I just append them. And okay, if you have any questions during the talk, just ask. So let's talk about what's the low-level virtual machine first. It's not a compiler like GCC or the Intel C compiler. It's an infrastructure. You can use it to write compilers. It has many small different modules. And what it has an intermediate language, something like the Microsoft Common Intermediate Language, but much lower level. It can represent C code, so it's not type safe, for example. And it's completely generic, unlike the Java bytecode, for example. It's currently being developed mostly at Apple. The ARM backend is being developed at the company I work for. It's in Portuguese, that's an acronym for Nokia Research Institute. And the great idea about it is that you have one single code generator that you can use in many projects. Currently, you have a GCC branch maintained by Apple that uses. PyPy is using it, and Apple's OpenGL implementations use it. So what does this look like? It's written in C++. Love or hate it, but it is. Defines one language that's completely target independent, mostly language independent, almost all. And it has three representations. One is an assembly-like language. You can write down, or if it's easy to code, then see debugs, for example, you run one pass and check it out, see if it's okay. It has a bytecode format that's convenient for programs to use. It's simple to read, fast to write, uses small memory. And you have the C++ classes in memory representation. So what does it look like to use? For example, a Python program runs through PyPy. PyPy creates an intermediate language representation, and then it runs on any architectures that the low-level virtual machine supports. Same goes for C and C++, except that most likely you are going to use just-in-time compiler for Python and a static compiler for C or C++. And the same description of a backend in the low-level virtual machines generates both a just-in-time compiler and a static compiler. So just one short example, you have a very simple C functions. When it's moved to the low-level virtual machine intermediate language, what you have is just a select instruction. It should be pretty simple, what it has. And then to assembly. Some things that you might notice about the format, every value is explicit, types are explicit, and it's in single assignment, static single assignment form. It makes things a bit easier for optimizations, but for backends, not actually visible, just so. And that's the introduction for the low-level machine. What about ARM? What makes it a strange and special architecture? It's a RISC. It has 32 bits and 60 bits instructions. Currently, we only support the 32 bits ones. The 60 bits is the thumb. It's not supported. 16 general purpose registers, integers. Some models have floating points, others do not. Most instructions are conditional, not just conditional moves, but conditional adds, conditional branches, and obvious. But most instructions, you just have a field that says when it's going to execute or not. And it has the conditional register that most instructions can set also. For example, you have an add, and you have an add C that sets the carry. So how do you write a backend? OK, one way, you have this common intermediate language. It has a bytecode format. Open it, do whatever you want, and write the code. If you are writing a really strange backend, that might be the best way. For example, there is a C backend that writes C code. It's more or less like this. It's very uncommon backend. For the common case, that is, you have an architecture with fixed number of registers and things like that, the low-level virtual machine has many tools that it can use. It has a register allocator. It has instruction scheduling. You don't have to write almost no code. It's just a description file, a table format. So it makes things easier. And the main thing is that instead of feeding you the raw intermediate language, it's going to produce a direct acyclic graph, a DAG, with the data flows. So you have an ad, you have two childs that are the input values. It produces a third value that's returned, for example. I will have an example in here next. And so for writing a backend, what do you need, given that those tools? For the ARM backends, the first thing is declaring their registers. There are three sets of them, single floating point, double floating point, and the integers. And one thing we don't do, we don't handle the conditional registers. It's completely ad hoc. Why? It's a limitation of the way the backend is written and will be described later. So, for example, that's one, the DAG, that same C code, as you can see, it's just a return of the select value and the arguments of the function. So how does the backend go on from here? The first thing it has to add ARM-specific information. For example, a formal argument. What is that? Depending on the architectures, it's going to be in the registers. It's going to be in the stack. So the first pass of a backend is to expand those nodes, for example, to turn them to a copy from a register or a load from a stack. And just some examples of nodes that have to be the change that you have to implement. The formal arguments, a call, how does it works, and returns, where does the returns values goes, and things like that. And floating point conversions. And when you do the translations, you are already adding some assumptions. For example, in the case of the ARM backend, we use the new embedded ABI. So for example, when you call functions, you never use the floating point registers. You always copy to the integer ones. So you can link code that uses floating point emulation and code that uses a real vector floating point. We assume that we have a vector floating point. You generate code for it only. And we have not implemented jump table. So if the low-level virtual machine sends us a jump table, it expanded. Lack of time. OK, once you have expanded, you have another DAG. But this one only has node that you can understand is easier to use. For example, note that the formal arguments are now three registers. And we have the select instruction was broken into. That's a compare instruction and a select. And the red link, that's the hack. Since we don't.
Sorry, what
one's red? The two red links, the arrows.
I'm
reading
colorblind. Sorry.
Those. The one, there are two. The in the bottle, the ones that go from red flag to copy to hash. The one to the right is red.
Okay.
And the one that connects the select to the compare.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so that's the red links are the hacks. They are not data flows like the usual DAG that you see in compiler books. What they tell the scheduler in particular is that keep those instructions together. Why? We don't declare the conditional registers. So there is no way for the scheduler to know that the select is using a data from the compare instruction. Why don't we declare those registers and the fact that the CMP instructions change it? because then you don't have a DAG, simply. Sorry, you'd have a much more complex DAG, which a node can produce two or more values. That's much more harder to match. And in particular, you have to write C++ code for each instruction. That's really annoying. But then we just add this hack. Most backends do, actually. So you have that big graph. And to do a matching, it's a classical dynamic programming algorithm. Just try to match each small ARM instruction and go on recursively. And most selection code is written automatically. You just declare, OK, an add is an instruction that takes two registers, produces another one, and has the pattern A equals B plus C. The ARM back, the low-level virtual machines creates custom matching code for you, no problem. The only thing you have to write by hand is the addressing modes. This is, sorry, I forgot to tell you. The ARM architecture have very strange and powerful addressing modes. You can take one register that's the address can be one register plus another shifted by the third one. It's strange, but it works. And currently, there is no clean way to support instructions with multiple returns. So, okay, that's the reason for you don't declare the status registers. And instructions that move, for example, the handle double precision floating point numbers, they move them to the integer registers. They produce two values. We just use a hack to handle it. And long multiplication instructions that do 32-bit, 64-bit multiplications, we simply ignore the fact that they produce the two values and use just the higher one. Also inefficient. No, for example, if you multiply two 32-bit numbers, the result is 64 bits. So in ARM, you produce the result in two registers. Since the low-level virtual machine currently doesn't has a clean way to declare it, so I just say that I use a scratch register for it, and I say that, okay, this produces just the high 32 bits, and it generates pool code because of that, but actually, it's easy to implement. That's about 6 months old only. And so one example that works very, very nice. You have one instruction that is going to do a strange add. It's A plus B power to C. That's one strange addressing mode of ARM, and it's worked perfectly, just one instruction and a return. It's very simple one. And okay, another example. This one should be also two instructions, but due to the limitations of the low-level virtual machine, we screw it up. It's just a 32-bit, 64-bit multiplication, and the result, since we ignore the fact that SMU can produce the both results, we call both a simple multiplication, a long one, move the results to the right registers, and return. That's one of the bad points currently. And after the instruction selection, the last stage will be the actual register allocator. Sorry, one of the last steps. That's, again, a kind of problem. It was designed for architectures that have completely fixed requirements. For example, Intel 1, if you do a multiplication, the output is always in the same register. Or if you have completely general ones like the PowerPC architecture. ARM has some strange constraints. For example, in a multiplication instruction, one of the arguments must be different from the destination. And there is no way you can tell the register allocator about it. So that's another problem. What we do then is we do a last step scan looking for an invalid instruction and using scratch register. Problem, we don't use that scratch register anywhere else, so we effectively trash on one register forever because of that. for multiplying. And if the hashed allocator can't find a way to set a variable for a particular hashed, it has to do a spill. It will call the uback. That's another problem. For example, if you're going to spill, let's say, 5 hashes, ARM has multiple store, but there's no way you can do it currently because there will be 5 different calls, and one call doesn't know the other one existed, so you're going to use 5 instructions. That's another problem currently. So what do we have in the end? We have the backends mostly working. libgcc compiles. It means that you can, yes?
Given that you're already using that on the previous slide, a pass to correct that multiply issue, couldn't you also use exactly the same thing to fix, to do a peephole optimization to fix the 64 multiply?
It's a bit
in the same pass, even.
Yes. Yes, but it's a bit harder to do because you have to keep a map saying, okay, I've done a long multiply, so I already have this value. I'm basically doing dead variable elimination. Common sub-expression elimination pass. You are doing, okay, already have this value, cut off this instruction.
Oh, I was actually thinking of more of a heuristic approach where you're literally just looking for that pattern of instruction and just doing a heuristic. We replace this peephole with the two instruction equivalents.
Yes, but they're not necessarily one after the other. The schedule can have placed them far apart. It's possible, but I think it's better just to try to improve the hashed allocator. In this case, not that big problem. The hashed allocator is one of them, actually. One is a simple scan that's easy to fix, and the other one is coloring, so it's trivial to add these constraints. You just have the time to open, understand the implementation, and fix it. But yes, you can do anything, actually, in the last row. And okay, so what do you have in the end? What can you do it with it? And you compile libgcc, so you can compile a cross Intel ARM compiler and try it, see how the code goes. It understands almost everything that LLVM is able to throw at it. We are currently trying to bootstrap GCC. The reason why it's not working, it's because ARM doesn't have something like Spark or the PowerPC high and low codes for fetching 32-bit constants. What you do is you create a constant table that's close to the point where you use it, and you add the value in there, then you load the value. For example, if you have a string that's somewhere in memory, you put that address in another constant table close to use and load it. The problem, the ASM printer just prints the constants, then the function. If you have some very big functions, like the ones that are in GCC, it's out of range. It has to be fixed. Actually, it was fixed. That's some news afterwards. And we don't have JIT support. Basically, you just have to be patient, open the ARM, and okay, an add is a 0100011000. Declare that. We don't have soft floating point. The reason was, okay, the ARM I had to test it had vector floating point, and it was easier to implement with it. And currently, you need an ARM v6. It's use ARM v6 for just a bunch of instructions, so it shouldn't be hard to split in multiple subarchitectures. And there are some things that really should be fixed at LLVM itself. The first one is very hard, correct handling of the instructions with multiple results. One proposal is completely changing the instruction selection to use map it to an integer optimization problem. That's theoretical currently, but someone might want to implement that. It's a very interesting problem. more general interface for the hash allocator. That shouldn't be very hard. And that part I showed that expands the many nodes, that's currently the largest part of the code, mainly because you have to expand calls and returns manually. You have a call, it's going to be a copy, to copy the value, do the branch, copy the return backwards. So maybe it's possible to build a higher level interface, just say, OK, this argument, this hashes, this argument, this hashes, and go. That's current things that's nice to work with. Some quick reference. And I was the initial developer. Currently, Lauro is the one who's doing most of the work. I'm moving companies currently. And OK, just the last minute news I said. Just before the conference, I've received an email from Chris Lattner. That's the main developer of the low-level virtual machine. He currently works for Apple. And the mail is basically, OK, I'm sorry, but we are using the ARM backend now. And we have been developing some things, and now we can talk about it. Basically, they have added soft floating point and subarchitecture. So that's two items solved, and they are fixing the hash data allocator currently. So, oh, and they have fixed the problem of the constant table. So maybe if you type make now, GCC will bootstrap. I don't have time to try it. But in the end, we got some very big help now to develop it further. So do you have any questions about ARM, low-level machines, compilers, anything? Yep. GCC.
Thanks. That's really interesting. It's a great project, the goals of it are really interesting. You've highlighted some problems in the LLVM design, the way it expresses instructions, and I'm wondering. It seems like the ideas of registers are fairly tied into the LLVM language. Mm.
Not in the language, in the code generator. It's the common code generators are very tied to it. But like the C backend, you can always just open the intermediate language and do whatever you want. If you are generate code for that example, another virtual machine that uses a stack instead of a fixed number of registers, you can do it.
I'm interested in whether you're aware of there was a language called Limbo that was associated with an operating system called Inferno from Lucent, AT&T Bell Labs, whatever it was called.
I've
at the time.
Heard about Inferno a long time ago, but I really don't know what it is.
The interesting point on that one was that its bytecode was memory to memory, and it assumed a machine with zero registers and very large instructions.
Someone was asking about a memory to memory assembly in the low-level virtual machine mailing list, maybe.
So the point of that was that it was, because it was memory-to-memory, it was easy to optimize for register-to-register. Mm-hmm. It had less assumptions in its structure, I suspect, than maybe some of the barriers that you've had, for instance, with having something returning 64 bits in the data types that are available.
The problem of using memory to memory in an intermediate language is that, one, most hardware has registers. And once you declare a variable in the low-level virtual machine, you know that doesn't have alias. Actually, don't even promise that it's going to memory. If the language is always memory to memory, you have a hell of a lot of trouble making it. Alias analysis on it. And actually, it's the funny thing, since C in the end is mostly memory to memory, since you can get an address of basically anything. So when you first compile C code to the low level virtual machine, what you see is many calls to alloc, to allocate space, and then it reads and writes from memory all the time. And one of the first passes, it's to raise those memory references to variables. So it actually goes the other way around.
And the other question is this this news from Apple an allusion to maybe they're using this in the iPhone?
I had to ask exactly the same question to Chris Latner, and the answer was no comments.
Any other questions?
But I guess so. There was an interesting thing also with the AMD 64 backends. Everybody was on the list, okay, let's implement it. And everyone from Apple, sorry, are too busy right now. And after the MacWorlds, when the Core 2 Duo went out, and the same moment was a big patch on the list. Okay, this implements an AMD 64 backend. So I guess, yes. Gosh, this is much shorter than expected. And yeah. Does anybody else have some interest?
Any other? Okay. No.
I probably just missed this at the start, but who's kind of in control of the intermediate language design, and is that a fixed target, or are they taking feedback from all of the targeting?
Currently the three main developers work for Apple, so actually they dictate most or less the intermediate language, but it evolves and actually very, very fast. It's impressive. Have worked with GCC and see the 1 year effort to merge a branch, and just currently in the last month they've changed it from a signed to a signless intermediate language. So it's whoa, change everything in 1 month. It's very modern, very easy to use.
Because I've been keeping up with PyPy a little bit, but I didn't even know they were using this thing. So I suppose, what's the license that all of it's under, and does anyone sort of own it per se? Or?
So if you have some ideas, something that should be in there to make life easier for PyPy, I'm pretty sure they would love to hear about it. And for example, some D hackers want to write a compiler using the low-level virtual machine, and there's plenty of interest. The only thing that I say that low-level virtual machine is almost language independent is that when you do that call instruction, the standard call instruction assumes that the C calling convention, for example, you have the fast C calling convention. You have, so it really depends on the some things that depend on the language, because of course D can do calls in one way, C in another, PyPy in another. So one thing that might have to do is add a new calling convention, but nothing more than that. Of course, you might want to add something else for make your life easier, but it's not necessary. And so, does someone else has questions or comments?
Okay. Hang on.
I just would like to add something I just thought about the relationship about the low-level virtual machine and GCC. When low-level virtual machine was first started, it was during GCC 3. Chris Latner was a master student. Impressive, but yes. And it was a struggle for GCC 4 to be based on low-level virtual machine or the 3SSA project. 3SSA won basically because the low-level virtual machine was very incomplete back then. And then from time to time, there's this struggle. Okay, do I use it? Or do you want to use it again? Currently, there's such a struggle again. That's for the link time optimization project in Code Sorcery, which they're basically trying to clean up GCC intermediate representation so it can be dumped to disk and read it back. And low-level virtual machine does that for ages. So there's this constant struggle, but at least I think it's added a hell lot of pressure in GCC to improve the architecture, because this completely matured. According to Chris Latner in a previous presentation, Apple is going to compile Tiger entirely with it, the full operating system. So definitely very, very impressed for the size of it. It's much smaller than GCC, much easier to use, and it's free software also. Actually, it's BSD licensed, so really looking forward to what's going to happen now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Raphael.
Oh, thank you.
We've got these to present to you as well for your participation.